From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
Once a lady came to me and she said, you know, Wayne, I'm not with my husband anymore. I'm living with another guy. I know, but praise the Lord. You know, I go to church and I love God and everything. And you know, I just know that God wants me to be happy. So I'm living with this other guy and God wants me to be happy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I thought, no, comprendo. You never adjust your faith to your behavior. You adjust your behavior to your faith.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Have you ever heard someone say, you know, Satan always hits me right where I'm the weakest? Well, it's probably true that he does. But if that's the case, why not take steps to strengthen that weak area? You can do it, you know. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, When You Know What's Right But Can't.
Can you relate to and remember a time when you knew what the right thing was to do, but for some reason you just didn't have the power to follow through? How many of you have experienced something like that? Raise your hand. Good. We're in good company if that's you. There's a man whose name was Paul the Apostle that felt that way. Let's read the scripture at the top of our notes and see how he went through some of those times of dilemma. Let's read it. Ready? Go. I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I can't. I do what I don't want to do, what I hate. I know perfectly well that what I'm doing is wrong, and my bad conscience proves that. There's times where we know what to do, but for some reason we can't grab hold of that strength that's beyond our own. How do we access that? How do we position ourselves, as it were, so that we can make that a part of our lives, that becomes available to us without disqualifying ourselves from it? Jonah is someone who went through that same dilemma. So this morning you're going to see that Paul went through that, Jonah went through that, we will go through that. As illustrated when, just as you know, we just came back from Japan a couple weeks ago. And coming back from Japan, we took Japan Airlines. Now, all of the flight attendants and all the airlines are just wonderful. But the flight attendants on Japan Airlines, they are so nice. They're so prim, proper. They speak mostly Japanese, you know, but they try their best to speak English. And they're so kind. And I mean, they're just the best. You can throw up on their shoes and they'll go, it's all right, smell good, that one, smell good. You know, they are so nice. Well, I got on, you know, and after spending a week in Japan, I was learning some new vocabulary words. So I was kind of looking for an opportunity to use these words in a sentence. And so I got on Japan Airlines and I couldn't get my guitar in the upper rack. So I had my suitcase, carry-on suitcase and guitar. And so usually there's a stewardess's own closets, you know, in the back. And if you ask them nicely, they'll put your stuff in the closet. And so I asked her in Japanese, because I just found out the word for closet is oshire in Japanese. So I asked her, could you find enough room for my suitcases in your oshire? And the only problem was I missed one letter, just one. And I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but I thought it was oshiri instead of oshire. Now, some of you are laughing because you know the difference between, just a slight difference makes a big difference. And you see, oshire is closet, so I asked, would you find room in your oshire for my suitcases? But when I said the other word, that defines the part of your anatomy that follows you around, you know, that which you sit on. And so I asked her if she could find enough room. In that location for my suitcases. And her eyes got really big, you know. And then she kind of, it got dark. As she looked and she said something and I couldn't understand, because she said in Japanese, I couldn't understand if she was replying that there was not enough room or whether she was suggesting that I find place in my own location for the same. I couldn't tell. Now I didn't know what was going on, why she was just, you know, and then she just kind of smugly walked off. And I noticed Talo, who has, his Japanese is much more proficient than I, and he had his face buried in the seat in front of him. And at first I thought he was just crying hysterically. But instead, he was thinking it was pretty funny. So he came up for air and disclosed to me what my problem was and how utterly embarrassed I should be, and then went back to his jovial sideshow and kept laughing. And I thought, yeah, thanks a lot. And now I'm just embarrassed. My face turned so red, my ears even got red. And she started coming back and I hid. I was so embarrassed. Do you think Tala would be man enough to apologize to her in Japanese and tell her that I really didn't mean for her to find in that location room for my suitcase? But do you think he did? No, he didn't say a thing. He just left it as is. I didn't have enough Japanese to be able to undo this thing. And so I just hid from her. I was so hungry. When she came down with the food, I was so embarrassed, I just made believe I was sleeping. I didn't eat the whole way. And it's kind of crowded because you have your guitar and your suitcases in your seat with you because, you know, there's no room in the Oshide. I haven't talked to Talo for 2 weeks since we've returned. But when I do, I know the right thing is to forgive him, but I can't. Instead, I want to use that same word in a sentence when I address him. So if that happens in your life, you're in good company because it happens to all of us. You know the right thing to do, but it's hard to do it. Well, Jonah was one of those. I want to introduce to you the person that God dedicated a whole book to, because out of his life, there are lessons that we can learn from Jonah. Let's read this in the scriptures. Ready? Three lessons from Jonah. Go. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah, "Arise and go to Nineveh." But Jonah ran away from the Lord. He went aboard a ship and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break. Each of us will find times when we're faced with this dilemma. When you know what to do, but you don't have the power to carry that out. And you're caught in this impasse, you're polarized. Now, when that happens, how do we find the strength that's beyond our own in those times when they come? And they will come. Those test points in your life. And even though Jonah went the other way, let me fast forward to the end of the story. He made a U-turn in the middle with God's help and brought him to what God had originally called him to. And his life turned out so well that almost single-handedly God used him to save a city of 120,000 from perishing. Well, what are the lessons out of Jonah's life that we can gather and garner so that when we come to that impasse, we can access a strength that's beyond our own? How do we do that? Let's read the scripture under number one. The sailors are going to ask him a question because the storms are raging and they know it's no normal storm. Something's funny. So they knew something was a power beyond their own was causing it. So they ask, ready? Go. So they asked, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all of this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." You see, he identified with the Lord. Even though he was running the wrong way, he said, "I know the way to go, and I identify with the Lord." You see, it doesn't bother God when we identify with them, even though our behavior doesn't match our faith, just so long as we're in process. If you remain neutral, say, "Well, hey, you know, I'm just kind of doing my own thing now," and you deny the Lord, it's the worst thing in the world. The Bible says, "If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven." What does that mean? If I don't identify with God before men, then the power and the strength that will make an eternal difference will not be available or accessible to me, because I am not identifying with him. And if I don't, there is no strength beyond my own that's available until I match up my inheritance with his. Yes, I'm a child of the Lord. I'm going the wrong way right now. But you can't remain neutral. Holland tried to do that in World War II. The Nazis were fighting the Allies. Holland didn't want to be a part of either. They couldn't make up their mind. So they just went on radio and said, we're going to stay neutral. Neutral. And they proclaimed neutrality. Within 10 hours, Nazi forces had overrun Holland with thousands of troops, 10,000 planes in an air assault, and thousands of tanks had all come in and overrun Holland. Within just a day or two, Holland was now under control of the Nazi Empire. Listen carefully. Hitler did not respect Holland's attempt at neutrality, and neither will Satan yours. Satan will not respect your attempt at neutrality any more than Hitler did Holland's. You cannot remain neutral. Bobby Dylan once sang, you got to serve somebody. It might be the devil, but it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Now, that was Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles. I get those accents mixed up, you know. But you say, Wayne, wait a minute. My behavior is kind of bad. I'm still going to Tarshish. And I know God's called me to Nineveh, but I'm going the opposite way. And if you look on a map, it is exactly the opposite of Nineveh. He was going to Tarshish. And you say, Wayne, what if my behavior doesn't match my faith? Why should I identify with God? That's not good. And I say to you, you do it. Why? Never adjust your faith to your behavior. Adjust your behavior to your faith, and not vice versa. Adjust your behavior to your faith. Once a lady came to me and she said, you know, Wayne, I'm not with my husband anymore. I'm living with another guy. I know, but praise the Lord. You know, I go to church and I love God and everything. And you know, I just know that God wants me to be happy. And I'm not happy with that idiot. So I'm living with this other guy. And God wants me to be happy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I thought, no comprendo. No, that's wrong. Oh, that is out to lunch. You never adjust your faith to your behavior. You adjust your behavior to your faith. And once you can do that, because even though Jonah was going the wrong way, he identified with the Lord and he said, no, he's my God. And when that happened, a strength beyond his own was made available to him. Now, he was indeed thrown overboard. And the Bible says that a great fish swallowed him. Let's read this together, number 2. Ready? Go. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and he was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Then, stop right there. Would you circle that word, then? It's going to be an important word. I always wondered why Jonah waited 3 days for the then he prayed. You decide how much pain is required before you change. You decide that. And I was wondering, now why in the world did Jonah wait 3 days, then he cried out to the Lord? That's kind of dumb. I don't like pain. It wouldn't take me 3 days. But you decide. However stubborn our hearts are, we can get going. And if you want it to be 3 days, 4 days, 8 days, and then you cry out, it's up to you. You decide how much pain is going to be required before you change. Because you see, the reason God allows storms to come into your life is because he loves you. Let's continue after that then. Ready? Go. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, and he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he... Do you know that God will answer you when you cry out? You just choose when that then is going to be. See, you decide how much pain is required. Because God knows his love for you. And he's going to increase the pain because he doesn't want you to end up in Tarshish, where you forfeit everything about your life, your call, your assignment. What profits a man if he gains the whole world but loses his assignment, loses his soul in the process? And God knows at that point is called Tarshish. And he's going to do everything he can to stop you because he loves you. Jonah was going from Nineveh to Tarshish. And there's times you're going to be going to Tarshish instead of Nineveh. God's going to say, I want you to do this and you do something else. I want you to say this, and we say something else. I want you to be quiet and shut up, and we say stuff anyway. and we end up in Tarshish, and the storm hits, and everything just goes up in smoke. And God puts storms in our lives. And sometimes we fight against the storm and pray, oh, God, remove the storm. If you're going to Tarshish, He's not going to remove the storm. I don't care how much you pray and fast. Because if you're going the wrong way, why should He remove it? So that the slide will be greased and you go there faster? He's going to increase the pain until we cry out to the Lord. He's going to cause a fish to swallow you. And you'll be 3 days in the bile. Why? Because He loves you. Sometimes God's greatest megaphone of love is pain. If you have a grandfather that you love very much and say he's blind, he's going blind towards the end of his life, and he's walked a certain path near his house and right near a river, and there's kind of a drop-off, and one day you see him walking towards this drop-off, and another 5 steps, he'll drop off a precipice of maybe 40 feet. And you say, Grandpa, stop. There's a ledge there, and you're going to fall off the edge of this cliff. No, no, he says to you, I've walked this pathway many times before. I know where I'm going. No, you say, stop, Grandpa. And he says, no, I know where I'm going. And he keeps walking. Because you love him, you're going to do everything you can to stop him. You will throw yourself in front of him. You will tackle him and carry him if you need to, even though he's beating on you and calling you names. You're going to carry him off. Because, not because you hate him. You didn't do that because you disliked him or despised him. You did that because you loved him. Now, God's love for you is exponentially more. And when he sees us heading towards the cliff of Tarshish, he will send in a storm. And there's times we go kicking and fighting. And the Lord says, if you know my ways, you'll cooperate. But you decide how much pain is required before you make a U-turn. And some people go all the way to Tarshish and lose everything before they realize they should have made a turn way back there. God sends correcting storms. You say, well, Wayne, what if you're not going to Tarshish? You know, I'm trying to obey the Lord, but still storms hit. Well, Peter was that way. Do you remember when he was in the boat and Jesus asked him to step out on the water? I mean, that's quite a story. Because in each of us, there's a measure of faith and flesh. And when we see the waves, we start to doubt and our flesh takes over, or our own strength. We start to move on our own strength rather than God's strength. And Peter was walking on the water according to a strength far beyond his own. But once his own flesh kicked in, he started to sink. You could see him on the boat rocking. And pretty soon he sees the Lord walking on the water and he adjusts his binoculars, you know. Holieth cow. And he sees the Lord. Henryeth, cometh here, looketh for yourself. That's enougheth. And he looks at him. Holieth cow. It's Jesuseth. He's walkingeth upon the water. Jesuseth! Can I cometh upon the watereth? Jesus said, cometh. And so he gets out. He gets out of the boat, and when he gets on the water, it's like as solid as this. Kavoom! Huh. Dynathomite. He starts walking towards the Lord. But as soon as his flesh kicked in because he saw the waves, all of a sudden he started to sink. And he said, Lord, helpeth me. And so the Lord reached out his handeth and pulled him up. And he said, why did you what? Doubteth. That's right. Why did you doubteth? See, his flesh kicked in, and the Lord had to perfect that so that his faith would be stronger than his flesh. And in each of us, we all have flesh, and it's going to war against your faith, and there's going to be times of an impasse in your life, whether it be in a relationship with a lady or a guy, or in your marriage, or with money, or with opportunities, with friends that you know God has asked you not to hang around with, but they're saying, come, and you say, well, I know I shouldn't be there, but I just don't have. Right there is going to be a time where you're going to have to answer to the Lord. You're going to either take his strength or operate in your own flesh, and your flesh is going to kick in and say, keep going that way. I know it's Tarshish, but that's all right. And the Spirit of God will say, you decide. If you keep going towards Tarshish, there's going to be storms and results and consequences, and it might take a lot of your life away with it when that storm recedes. Or you can say, no, I want to go with what the Spirit of God is saying. and I'm going to make a U-turn. This is enough pain. You decide. You decide. Here's something. If you would please remember this. Don't wait till you get to the end of your rope before you cry out to God, because sometimes that's just too late. You've lost most of everything by that time. Listen carefully. Get to the end of your rope before you get to the end of your rope. You don't have to get to the end of the rope before you call out. I know I'm going the wrong way, and that's it. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm turning around. Others may say, no, I'm going to just go to the end of my rope. Don't wait till you get to the end of your rope before you get to the end of your rope. Make that decision and turn around. When God took that great fish and irped up Jonah on the side of the Mediterranean Sea, did you know that even though he cried out to God, God heard his prayer, the terms of obedience was this. He irped up Jonah on the sand, and it was still another 3 days he had to walk. 3 days. Amazing. Sometimes we think, well, if I ask God for his mercy, all of a sudden the magic carpet's going to come and pick you up and everything will be peaches and cream. Not necessarily. I've cried out to God, and still I've had to walk 3 days' journey, blistered my feet, and I'm thinking, now, wait a minute, I'm obeying God. Yeah, but there's terms of obedience still, and it's okay. Trust God for the term for his terms of obedience. You've got to be willing to trust in God's terms of obedience. For example, there was a young lady that once came to me, and she said, Wayne, I know I've been living with my boyfriend for about 10 months now, and I become a Christian. I know that's not the best, and he doesn't know the Lord, doesn't want to know the Lord, I know I'm supposed to be on my own, move out, but it's so hard. I don't have the power to do it. I know what God's wanting me to do, but I can't do it. Partly is because, you know, it saves me a lot of money to live with like this. And I don't, if I move out, I'll have to get my own apartment. It's going to cost me more. We're splitting it now and la, 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 la. And so I said, you know, if you'll trust God's terms of obedience, watch what God can do. And you will never be able to tap into strength beyond your own unless you're willing to trust God's terms of obedience. If you're not willing, it's too much, then you'll never understand that strength that's beyond your own. You've got to be willing to go for it and just do it by faith and watch God meet you. And she did. And you know, within that next 3 weeks, first of all, she lost her job. And she came, she said, I'm in trouble. I said, you stay with God's terms of obedience. If you know what God's called you to do, keep doing it. Within the next 2 weeks, she landed another job, paid her twice as much as she was getting. And a few years later, she married a wonderful Christian man. They're serving the Lord today, and they have a couple of beautiful children that serve the Lord as well. And when she looks back, the terms of obedience required something of her, but God met her and gave her a strength far beyond her own. There's going to be times where God's terms of obedience may cause you to question. But if you're saying, I'm willing to pay the price for God's best, and you watch, there will be a strength beyond your own. Jonah 3:1, and that is this, that we serve a God of the second chance. Would you read that scripture with me? Ready? Go. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. God spoke to Jonah first to go to Nineveh. He went the other way. God sent a correcting storm because of his love, intercepted him. And in the midst of that cry and the pain, God's word came to Jonah a second time, and Jonah heard it and obeyed. And because of that, a whole city was saved. Some of you may also be in that belly of the whale, and you might feel the storms hitting. But I want you to know that you serve a God of the second chance. Not that we take his grace for granted, but God so loves you and has a plan for your life. And his megaphone of love may come in the form of storms and pain. Come to the end of the rope before you come to the end of your rope. Hear his voice, make that U-turn. And as soon as you identify with him and choose to trust him, there will be a strength far beyond your own that'll be within your grasp. And when you trust his terms of obedience, regardless of what the results are, because I choose to obey and be obedience-oriented, not result-oriented, I choose to obey, and I'll watch God take me through whatever he needs to so that there will be a freedom in my life, and that is all authored by the God of the second chance. If you need that second chance, there's strength available for you today.
You've just heard a message entitled, When You Know What's Right But Can't, by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Dill Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.